Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Looking for some amazing TV to stream? Indulge yourself with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the gang on How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons are now streaming on Hulu. Then you can move to Modern Family, Schitt's Creek, and My Wife and Kids. We are talking every single episode of every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits. Streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. Now we're talking.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast. The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki. Hello, here I am. It's the Nikki Glaser Podcast. Welcome to the show. I'm in Los Angeles still. Noah is here. Anya is here. Welcome, guys. How are you this morning? Is it morning where you are? Kind of, maybe. No, it's
for
noon.
Me.
Where Anya is.
Not for Anya.
It is, yes. It's like morning it. For us. Yeah. God, top of the morning to you. My boyfriend is still asleep in the other room. I went in, turned on his white noise machine, and I was like, you need to crank it up, boo-boo, because it's just like, like, it's not loud enough, and I'm like, I want to talk about you, bitch. So turn to crank that bitch. No. He's a snuggle buggle in the next room, and he had a late night last night, so he's sleeping in a little bit today. And
what's it like cohabitating?
Oh, just ask the same question. Coke. Done.
Did we both say that?
Yes. Oh. Yes. Yes. You both said cohabitation,
I know,
too.
So weird.
Instead of like living together.
We're scientists.
Honestly, what is this podcast? Okay. Welcome back to NPR. This is Terry Gross. So cohabitation, we've done it before. We did it for many years in, I feel like we've probably lived together for like 2 years out of the 10 that we've been off and on. So it's the same. It's always great. We get along really good living together. It's better than not living together for us, always. More conflict arises when we don't see each other and we're not living together. But when we're living together, we're just, maybe it's like the whole theory of you have to make it work. Like, you know how like people go, when you get married, you get into a fight. Fights don't escalate to insanity as much because you both know that you're going to have to make it work because you're married. And I feel like we both know there's no other place for us to go unless we get a hotel. So maybe it just makes us feel secure, I guess. And in a relationship, I feel like it's just so obvious when I'm secure in my relationship to me. It's like, you know, when I realize that my happiness and my mood and so much of my life, unfortunately, is dictated by the security I feel with my partner. Now, when I'm single, I don't know what dictates my happiness. Honestly, not sure. Like, if Starbucks filled my cup all the way to the top, if they're accepting mobile orders today.
So beautiful, metaphorically and literally.
I really don't know what I don't remember, but I know that when I'm in a relationship, instability in my relationship equals instability in the rest of my life. And that is called codependency. And yes, it is Also, but my old therapist used to say, codependency, there's this whole realm of therapists who think codependency is the worst thing. We need other people. We need to depend on people. We don't need that other people to dictate how we feel. But like, there is always such a negative connotation with codependency. And I think that there is something to be said for like, well, there's benefits of it too. And there is a reason why we partner up as humans and why being single and living alone isn't ideal, and why, you know, there's so much loneliness going on with older people. Like, my heart has been breaking recently for old people, like living alone. Like, I read some stat about like how many elderly people have no one and just die alone. Not even in a nursing home, just die. Like, no one is left, and it makes me so fucking sad. I can't even handle it. And so, yeah, I mean, but it really bothers me. I guess it doesn't bother me. It's nice to be able to recognize when I'm feeling depressed and the world sucks and I am just in general so negative about everything. It's usually because my boyfriend and I are like not feeling secure. There's like we're having a lack of communication or something. But that's sad so and nice to know. But what the fuck, man? I don't want that. I don't want my happiness to be dependent on it. I mean, it has to be dependent on something. People go, your happiness shouldn't be dependent on your job or like your successes at work or, you know, your home life. But it's like, then what the fuck else is it supposed to be dependent on? Your inner spirit and how much you like yourself? Like, who has that besides Deepak Chopra
and Starbucks
and Oprah? Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I got to get a job working at Starbucks.
Love it.
I kind of would, except today at Starbucks, the woman was so chipper. It fucking annoyed. I'm not kidding you. I should have recorded it. I can't do an impression right now because it would wake Chris up, but it was so loud. And she was just like, hey, thanks for coming. No, you did it. Like screaming. And I was looking around like, is anyone else going to clock this? And like, I do want people to enjoy their jobs, but I've never felt worse for Starbucks workers than them working with this overly cheery one. It's ironic.
I had a flight attendant like that the other day, and I think I sent you a recording. She was screaming on the flight and like such a high pitch and doing a trivia game, but it was terrifying because she was screaming, and all of us are just like, you're taking us hostage. It was a Southwest flight, let me just say. Why
Southwest,
are all of them
stop
trying
it.
Out?
I because my dad always says, I love Southwest. You know, in job interviews, they ask, in Southwest job interview, every single interview, they ask, tell me a joke. And if you can't, they don't get the job. And I go, well, if you asked me to tell you a joke, I wouldn't have one on hand. I have one now because I just read this book and there was a great joke. Now when people go, tell me a good joke, like I'm not someone who just like carries jokes in their pocket. Like, well, two guys walk into a bar. Like, I don't memorize those jokes. I like people that do. It's a skill that people have. As a comedian, I do not have that skill. But what I do like that I just read was a cop pulls over a car and there's three priests inside. And the cop goes, we're looking for three pedophiles. And they go, we'll do it.
And you send that to my dad.
We all know why I like that joke. I'll screenshot it for you because it was in a David Sedaris book. I don't think it wasn't his joke. He just had a joke in a book. But it's, you know, for many reasons, that's my favorite joke. But yeah, Southwest, the other day I was on a flight and their little chipper, cheery attitude, which is, some people love it. And it's so sweet when someone's stupid enough to get a kick out of that. When your life is that simple, that a flight attendant making a joke like is enough to make you laugh out loud. Like, I look at you and I go, how dumb, how easy is your life that this is giving you joy? I envy people that just get kicks out of dumb shit, you know?
I like, want those people in my audience.
I mean,
I'll just kill.
I don't think they'd even like me because it wouldn't be easy enough to get, like, I don't, not that I'm like super intellectual humor,
no, but
by
you're
any
fast.
Means.
Yeah. They couldn't
but
keep
they
up.
Just need like, they just go, ho, and they're looking at each other like, oh, and the people who clap when you land, you know, that's that whole thing, which I don't really actually hate that. I think clapping when you're landing isn't that bad. It's like kind of cute. People hate clappers when they land. But the other day I was texting with Chris because there was, or maybe I was texting with you. I get you guys confused, but I was saying to, like, emotionally, I get you guys confused text-wise because I share the same kind of things. Yeah, it's the pictures I send you guys. Although you like it from behind. That's the difference. Ooh, that's a cool sound. How do you do it?
Yeah, okay, no, that was a Conan O'Brien.
Speaking of Conan O'Brien, Chris saw him last night. Yeah, the hip dance where he has strings on his hips and then cuts one and his hip falls. It's the best. So I was telling someone that I was on this flight and, oh yeah, I was on the way out here and there was this girl that was so loud and just being so obnoxious and like, it was the kind of person where if you were to tell them, hey, there are people, like there's people on this flight, like you, she was having a conversation with her friend next to her and they're like laughing because she's one of these people that's just so loud and has to have every thought that comes in her head said out loud and she can't speak. She's talking to her friend. She's like, I told them that if we are delayed, I'm not sleeping in this airport. I am not sleeping in this airport. Oh, you all should be happy right now. We're about to take off. Like,
oh my God.
And it was so obnoxious, but you knew she's the kind of girl that if you were like, excuse me, you're being rude, she'd be like, what did you say? Are you a racist fucking bitch? Like, it was going to go to that. Like, I just knew it. So I just
That's
kept my
called
mouth shut.
Unbridled self-expression.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that like a real thing?
Yeah. It's
she was Chinese, by the way, if you guys were thinking she was black. No, she was unbridled self-expression, U-S-E.
Yeah. So it's basically like when you just say everything that's on your mind, you just like dump it. My therapist calls it shooting from the hip.
Okay. You know what? I was furious at this girl at the time. And also the Southwest flight attendant who was making jokes wasn't helping because they were setting her up to be jokey and loud. So people were laughing. So then she wants attention. So now it's getting, so I'm like, this is encouraging this bad behavior. But then I was like, and I hated this girl. I was like seething. I was literally hoping my plane would crash so that she would be eliminated from the earth. I was like having those kinds of thoughts. I have those on planes all the time where I look around and I go, I will take the sacrifice because these people are fucking awful. Like, it's usually on a Southwest flight, too. Oh, you know what the problem was? It was a Southwest flight at fucking 4 p.m. direct from St. Louis to Las Vegas, Nevada. That is your problem. You're getting on a flight to Las Vegas direct from anywhere on a Friday, and you are going to have rowdy, drunk idiots. It was like a booze cruise. So,
yeah, they're pre-gaming.
This girl, yeah. But this girl was not drunk. She was just loud, and you can tell. And I just go, you know what? And I look around. There's people trying to sleep. This girl is, like, so disruptive. And I go, Nikki, she probably grew up in a home where she never got any people. When she was trying to nap as a little girl, her parents were probably screaming at each other, had the TV loud, listening to music. She probably never learned. This poor little child. I tried to shrink her down to a child and picture where she learned this behavior where no one else's feelings matter or eardrums. And I realized this person was probably, you know, emotionally abused as a child. And she didn't learn. And to have empathy that this, and most of the time, rude ass people that have no, like people on their speaker phones having full conversations, people who are blasting music in hotel rooms or apartments or just being loud, they're either drunk because you have lack of self-awareness when you're drunk, or they just grew up. Just imagine how they grew up, where they learned this. They probably had the worst fucking parents.
I wish I had
your voice
in my head.
Their parents have the worst fucking parents. What did you say?
I wish I had had that kind of compassion the other day on the Southwest flight. I was so upset. I was thinking, like, how can I complain about this? And then I'm like, don't be a Karen. Just let it go. But it was terrifying, and I could tell a lot of passengers were annoyed. They were trying to
sleep. Where you look around and you kind of just go, what the fuck? And that's where, when it's the flight attendant, I get mouthy. And I go, okay, we get it. And I go, ugh. I do a Opie and Anthony, ugh. Which I used to pull from.
As they should. As they should.
Should. Oh my God. I, like, as they should is sweeping the nation.
Because you're ugh to that girl's boyfriend.
Oh, just an ugh. Like, there's nothing more that I want to avoid in life than someone looking at me and going, ugh. Like, just, isn't that the worst insult?
Yeah.
It's slight. Also, a shush works too. Like, a shh. Like, they don't know where it's coming from. We're all kind of subconsciously programmed to shut the fuck up when we hear a shh. That works, but I love an ugh. And I have gotten, I mean, I'm getting to the point where I'm getting too famous to be this person in public anymore, where I call out rude behavior and like, and the one that gets a bit loud about like, no one cares, sir. Like, I'll shout that. Like, if a guy three rows back is like talking really loud, or like, I'll go, kuh. The other day I said kuh so loud to someone, which they didn't even know what that meant. Yeah. But kuh has an implied ugh.
Yes.
Because it's in it. It's kuh. Yes. And so that's, I think, why kuh works so well. But it is getting to the point where I know that people roll their eyes when I say I'm famous or whatever, because I would too, but it's just a thing. Like, it's growing. Like, even I just had a voice lesson right before this, and my voice teacher has no concept of who I am, which is fine. Like, I wouldn't expect him to. He's a 65-year-old, you know, guy who lives in Baldwin, Missouri, and opera singer. And he was like, over the weekend, you know, I sang with Michael McDonald, and he grew up with Michael McDonald and had told me about, you know, his days back in the days, like me and Michael being in bands or whatever. And so when I met Michael McDonald this weekend, if you don't know who he is, he's in the Doobie Brothers, and he's also the guy that sings like this. Yeah. And taking it to the streets. And he, I like went up to Michael and was like, I study with Michael Rocchio, who you grew up with. And he was like, oh yeah, a guy from back in the day. Like, I mean, he's 60 and they knew each other when they were 20. So he was kind of like, yeah, I think. But I told my voice teacher and sent him all these pictures. And he's like, what is happening? Like, what is this? Like, you're performing with John Mayer and the REO Speedwagon. Like, he was blown away. But I sent him pictures. And he was like, I posted those pictures on Facebook because he wanted to brag about his student, like, getting to do this thing.
Aww.
Even though it was like, I was a comedian, cute, not a singer in it. And he said to me, Nikki, today, he was like, I posted that on Facebook. I had no idea how well known you are. I had no clue. And I go, I know. It surprises me as well sometimes. Like, it's growing a lot recently. And it was just so cute that he was just like, people were freaking out. And it was just really cute. But even yesterday, I mean, I've been doing this for probably 10 years now. But when I walk on Sunset Boulevard and there is a celebrity sightseeing van, you know, there's these TMZ ones, there's tons of them. And they're constantly roaming Sunset Boulevard, just pointing out, that's where whoever died, and that's the Viper Room. And like, they're just going, and maybe they'll see a celebrity. And I always... because I know I once was a young girl in LA who went on a celebrity tour, and I would have killed to see a celebrity walking down the sidewalk. But you don't know, because everyone looks normal and you don't know who is who unless you're very savvy. So I always used to say, I'm a comedian. I'm friends with Amy Schumer. Like, that was my joke back in the day. And I would film myself saying it when I was someone who was not recognizable. But yesterday I was filming a show and I was like waiting to walk into this business. And I was waiting on the sidewalk, and people were filming outside the business because they like love this business because of the show or whatever. And there are paparazzi out there. Then there's like a van of people that came through, and they're kind of staring at me, and I'm waving at them because I'm just waiting for we're waiting for, I don't know, sound or something, lighting inside. So I'm waving to this van of people, and then they start kind of like waving back, and I'm like, I'm Nikki Glaser. I'm a comedian. I'm screaming across traffic. And the guy that's like the crew guy that's holding me is like, you're like thinking, I go, I do that because not because I want attention, but because I feel like I want to give them a gift of like seeing a live animal on a safari. Like, I want to be the cheetah that's like comes up and like paws at the window. Not for myself. Like, really, I promise, like, maybe it's 10% for myself, but I don't even think it's that. Like, I really do it because I know what it means to be a celebrity fanatic and to see someone that you go, okay, she's not like, we're not seeing Brad Pitt, but we're seeing someone who we can look at her IMDb and like, people get excited about famous people. But that leads me to saying, oh, I'm the level of famous now where at the gym, I have to wipe down my equipment afterwards. I realized because
people
want to
bottle the sweat or something.
Oh, that's so funny. No, because they'll think they might go, one person sees Nikki Glaser not wipe down her machine. And I know the way people talk about celebrities on Reddit and stuff, and how much people who love celebrities actually hate them and are looking for any reason to like write you off as a bad person.
Right.
And a story like that, if one person saw me not wipe down a machine, I am entitled and gross. But the truth is, and so I wipe down a machine now, not because I care about the person after me, but because I don't want to be besmirched in the public eye by one person who might see me. Because the other day at my gym in my building, I could tell these girls were like, I can tell when people recognize me, and they kind of look at me a little long, and then I look back at them always, and they're always on their phone Googling. And I'm not kidding you, dozens of Uber drivers. I've caught them kind of like rearview mirror eye contact. And then I see them on their phone, Google comedian, like, or they'll Google Nikki fame. And I'll see my fucking net worth pop up or whatever the fuck they're Googling. They're like, she better give me a tip. But I see it a lot. So I just know and I was been friends with famous people so long. Like, I remember being friends with Amy and just seeing people see her. And then tell their friends, and then like look back. Like I know the steps of recognition, but I want to just say, you shouldn't wipe down your machine. If you care about germs so much, wipe it down before you work out. I think the new rule, Chris, that's perfect that you've emerged for this new rule. You wipe down a machine before you use it. The person, you don't wipe it after, because the only. I don't care about a sweaty machine. I don't care if someone's, if it is covered in disgust, I will wipe it down. But if it is, this is a perfect system, because people who actually care about germs are going to wipe it down anyway. They're not going to trust it was wiped down before them. People that really care. So they're wiping it down twice. So just stop wiping it down because the people who actually care already do it anyway. What do you think?
I completely agree. I need to remember to wipe it down before, because it's like I care for myself and I care for others. My mom, by the way, only washes her hands before she pees. And I always thought that was gross. And then I was like, she kind of has a point. It's not like when I'm peeing, I'm fingering myself. I don't even touch myself.
And pee is like clean, actually. People like drink their pee. So if I get pee on my hand, I honestly don't care. It's not like I'm going to go like, I like touch a baby's mouth or something. Like I usually, like, even if it's a little like, This is grossing everyone out. Let's take a break and come back and like regroup, because I really need to think about what I'm about to admit here. Okay, we'll be right back after this. Are you looking for some amazing TV to stream? Well, sink into your couch and indulge with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. We're talking some of the greatest comedies of all time. Absolute must-watch shows. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the crew in How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons of How I Met Your Mother are now streaming on Hulu right now. One of my favorite shows ever. And I mean, don't you want to know how he met their mother? Then go back home with the Dumfies, the Pritchetts, and the Pritchett Tuckers in Modern Family. Then you can start over with the Roses on Schitt's Creek. And then see what's up in the Kyle household in My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits, streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. I mean, can you even watch all of this? We think so. Head on over to Hulu and start streaming today. Now we're talking. Well, the weather is getting a lot warmer, and so your wardrobe probably needs an update. I know mine does, and it's so hard when you want to buy new stuff because you want it to last a long time, you want it to look really good, and you want it to, like, stand the test of time in terms of, like, fashion. At least that's what I want. And so that's why I love Quince, because Quince is all about effortless fashion that looks chic and timeless year-round. I'm talking premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30. Washable silk top. They have so many chic jewelry pieces, like these globe boho hoops. I love those. You could just blindly click and end up with such wardrobe essentials. They're not wasting your time at Quince. I love the Quince dress I got. I'm trying to find it because I want to say the exact name of it, but it's like this long sleeve dress, but it's like a midi skirt. It's so cute. It's like silky feeling. It's just, I've told you about it before. Okay, there's so much cute stuff on here. I got to go and get back to the podcast, but you know what to do. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Nikki for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, quince.com/Nikki to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Nikki.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease.
Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at conairgirlbomb.com or a retailer near you.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back. Yeah, hand washing. I do it most of the time. Interesting your mom does it before she goes to the bathroom, because I guess I don't know why.
I don't know. I take it back now because I'm like, yeah, if you touch yourself.
Maybe because she touches the toilet paper and then she thinks the dirt will go on the toilet paper into her vagina.
Do you know that our phones are like worse than toilet seats?
Yeah, and they're germs. Covered in poo.
They're
in
like
grease.
Everything's covered in poo.
Oh my God. I opened my phone. I took my phone case off because I don't know if you know this little hack, but if you want to give yourself a speaker on your phone, you know how your iPhone speaker kind of sucks?
Yeah.
Sorry for Droid listeners, but you probably are like, you know, I was going to make some joke about how you're poor. No, but for any phone, I think your speaker sucks. If you put it in a glass in a hotel room, I always put it in the glasses. So I had to take my cover off to fit my phone in a glass, and whoa,
what did you find?
Was that it was like this? It was like digging in the seat of a Southwest flight. Like it was sticky and. I couldn't believe there weren't like silverfish living in it. I was like, this would be a perfect place for a bug to live. I remember my keyboard in college. One time a silverfish crawled out of the letter J and like went over to like the tilde. And I was like, oh God, how is that? I have like critters living in here. I mean, I was so disgusting in college, just like dripping things constantly in the keyboard. But yeah.
That is satisfying.
Yeah. What?
To open it up and clean it out.
Oh, I didn't clean it. I just looked at it and go, that's gross. I looked for a thing to wipe it off, but there was nothing nearby. And so I just put it back on. I mean, it's still disgusting.
I don't get it.
Yeah. I was like, what's satisfying? Oh, cleaning something? I don't know what you mean. Hiring someone to clean something for you? Yeah, I guess that feels good, but I don't have a sense of accomplishment about it. Okay. We have to discuss the elephant in the room. Which are Anya's new tusks. Anya got new teeth.
Oh, yeah, there's no gap anymore.
Yeah, but yesterday when I came, I mean, I still am having a lot of trouble speaking.
I think you're leaning into it.
I sound like I'm having some trouble with my lisp.
Yeah, so they're not permanent yet, though. You're right. Like, you have a what's it called? A temporary thing. Yeah,
you know what it feels like, Nick? Hmm. It's exactly like if you took two dentine ice and chewed them up for like a minute and then tucked them right behind your front teeth. That's how it is to talk. So it's a lot of new matter or material right there.
Oh, that you're doing really well with it. I can't, as soon as you point it out, it starts to go, oh yeah, I hear it. But
hey, Anya, are you getting like
bubblegum tongue?
What's that?
Oh my God.
What the fuck is that?
It's a John Mayer lyric.
Oh.
Your bubblegum tongue. Because if you want love.
What was it like interacting with him, Nikki?
Oh, it was good. Of besties are wondering.
I know him. Yeah, a lot of people wrote me and were like, oh my God, tell him I love him. I'm like, I'm gone. Like, the pictures are posted. This was last night. I've known John for, you know, just peripheral. I mean, I've known John since the year 2000 when he opened for Guster and my the guy that I was in love with, Doug Reese, took me on like what I guess a quasi date to go see him. And during Your Body is in Wonderland, which was the first time I'd ever heard that song, he was a new performer. We were there to see Guster, but he was like, this guy, John, he had seen them the night before. And he was like, this kid that's opening for them is so good. And he whispered in my ear during Your Body is Wonderland, he goes, this song is about sex. And I was just like, oh my God. And then, and it totally was.
Virgin?
I mean, he was. Yes. I mean, this was high school. I was 16. Okay. So I didn't lose my virginity for another 5 years.
And Doug was 30 or?
No, Doug was my age too. I loved him so much. Where are you, Doug Reese? If anyone knows Doug Reese.
That is such a popular boy's name.
98 Doug Reese. Yeah, that's what we called him because 98 Degrees was such a popular band. And so Taylor came up with it. She was like, 98 Doug Reese. So Doug Reese, R-E-I-S. If you know Doug Reese, please someone tell me how to find him and tell him I'm looking for him. I'm not trying to, I feel like he's like, she's a comedian. I don't want to be brought into the spotlight. I will not put you on my podcast. I just want to know where you, I just want to reconnect with you and share some memories because I love you as a friend. And I don't, it's so sad that I lost touch with him, but that song was about sex. And that's, anyway, John, I was like a huge fan of back in the day. And then continuing on, Slow Dancing in a Burning Room is one of my favorite songs. I really loved his like solo album he did, or like his like kind of like country-ish, like folky album he did, Born and Raised, I think it was called. Like, I've been into him off and on over the years. And then I met him at the Comedy Cellar maybe in 2014 or something like that. And he was very nice. And he's like comedy adjacent, you know, he's friends with a lot of comedians. So that's how I met him through that. And then we obviously connected, we connected when Bob Saget died again, and helped each other a little bit through that, and that was really nice. And then I saw him at where else have I seen him? I guess I saw him at the after party, the wake, I guess. And then I called him for advice on having my vocal cord surgery because he had same surgery, and so he gave me good advice there. And I did exactly what he said, which is like get an iPad and a keyboard and like and I ordered too small of an iPad, so I returned it. But anyway, and then, yeah, the other night I saw him backstage, and we just were like, hey, and just like hugged. And then he was like, you look great. I was like, you look great. And then he had a cold, and I was front row watching him perform. And then I went backstage because we like went, so I did my stand up, and then I just stayed out in the audience and watched the all the bands. And then I went back for the finale backstage, and that's where I saw him. And he had a cold, and he was like, I apologize, I'm singing, you know, an octave lower because I have a cold. So instead of gravity, he was doing gravity, Deacon, you know, like he was just took it down one. And then he was, but I was like, I just told him, I go, no one would have noticed. No, but you could just tell he like, it's interesting to see someone who's so famous and beloved call out this thing that no one would notice if we didn't know. Like, you didn't need to tell us you had a cold, you sounded amazing. But I, as a comedian myself, like anytime a joke doesn't go well, I have to be like, that was new. I have to like always, or even when I was on stage the other night, Chris was like, you didn't need to say that because there was supposed to be a 5 minute like countdown clock, but there was none. And as soon as I looked down to see how much time I had, there was nothing there. And I go, there's supposed to be a countdown clock, but I don't know how much time I have. And then I got off stage and Chris was like, next time, people didn't need to know that. And I was like, that's a really good point. Like, I need to remember the audience isn't backstage. They're not like, but you forget that. And great performers don't apologize for things they don't need to apologize for.
So what you're saying is John is not
a great performer. No. No, I think that like, you know what it shows is that he's humble and still like doubts himself, and especially in front of all of these legendary musicians. Yeah. Perhaps if it was his own show, he wouldn't have apologized, but I think he knew he was amongst musicians that would maybe notice or something. You know, when I perform in front of comedians, I up it a little bit more, but unfortunately.
Sometimes when people, like real fans, will come to your shows, though, as a musician, I've found they'll be like sticklers about like, you didn't sing it like on the record, you know, like why didn't you sing it like on the record? Because a lot of times you don't, you'll veer away from it, you know, just for fun because you're bored. So maybe he's just like, people, real fans will notice if I'm not singing the note I usually sing.
Yeah, no, and you know what, I would have noticed. I probably would have noticed. And but I guess my point was that he sounded amazing with a cold. Like, what the fuck? And so yeah, that was, we just had a brief interaction backstage, but that was it. What was I talking about before that?
Your Anya's teeth.
Oh yeah, your teeth.
Back to Anya's,
I think it's
teeth.
Such a major, like, I've kind of wanted to get veneers before, because are they veneers? Is that what they're called? What you
I
got?
I think so. They're porcelain veneers. The reason I got them was because as I've aged, my teeth have gotten a little discolored. I've always had this one thing on my front tooth that breaks off every 8 years. I have to get it fixed. And I was just like, I don't. And then like braces didn't stick. Like, they've gotten a little more crooked. And then my dentist is like, you could do Invisalign, or you could spend a couple grand and just get these four things replaced. And I was like, that seems intense.
My doctor would have said that.
I cannot believe how affordable it was.
I can't believe I've been in Invisalign since before Trump was president. I'm not kidding.
I mean,
this
is such a violent procedure, though.
Yeah.
Why? It is.
Do they break your teeth?
They fucking grind your teeth down to stalactites. At one point, they go, okay, you're all done. Sit up and you can rinse
so
now.
So you did have it ground down to little nubs.
Yes.
And you can,
dude.
See, oh, no. They show you.
See, that's the reaction that's.
I mean,
that's
a natural
inside.
Reaction.
I know.
That anyone should have. Of any
but they
kind
avoid
of-
your nerves. I was asking the dentist, I'm like, how do you know, like, that you're avoiding my nerves? She's like, because I went to school for most of my life. I was like, easy, lady. I'm sorry. It wasn't an insult.
Oh, my God. That's
but I could see how that
doctor.
Would be an annoying question. Like, how do y'all know what you're doing?
No, you know what? I want to know what they're doing in there. They are taking so long to do little things. I recently had a tooth procedure, and I'm like, what's he doing up in there? Like, there's so many like different like whirring sounds, and like,
yes.
There's like a grind. There was a thing, they were chipping off an old filling, and it's all of a sudden a rock came shooting out of my, and he goes, that's normal. And I go, how about you tell me it's normal before it happens? Like, a rock might come shooting out of your face. It felt like, and it sounded like you're driving on the highway and a semi truck like flicks a rock into your windshield. That's what it sounded like. It was like flicking around in my mouth, all of this filling just shooting everywhere. And he goes, that's normal. That's normal. And I'm like, it's yes. Like when pilots don't tell you this turbulence is normal, we're not going to die. Like, let us know.
Ahead
John Mayer us. Let us know your process. Let us know what is happening here. Assume that we are going to assume the worst about you, even though we're not. And fill us in a little bit on these fillings.
I would have appreciated a heads up, like, you know, 25 minutes in, I'm like, how much longer is this going to go on? And if she had just told me, so we're going to be up in here for like 28 minutes or 30 minutes,
God,
like that would have been so nice.
Give us a time limit. And now you're scared to ask her questions because she got so defensive about the nerve question. You hit a nerve, clearly.
But,
you got to learn how to not hit them.
At one point, I stood up. She goes, all right, just rinse now. I had no idea that my teeth weren't in yet. And I'm like rinsing. And then I'm feeling, and all I feel, Nikki, are like, oh my God. Imagine like three long drapes of your gums. And I'm like feeling these strings. I'm like, what? Why is there like, there's so much stuff still hanging in my mouth behind? I think you need to trim my gums. And she's like, oh, your teeth aren't in yet.
Okay, so this dentist, no wonder they were cheap.
No, she was
I'm
great.
I'm sorry. This is not okay.
No,
I don't like, can I just
great,
say though,
come on.
That the, people need to know, because I did not know this, because I feel like I've always been to reliable dentists. I've heard multiple stories lately about people going to the dentist and needing tons of work done. Because dentists prey on dentists know that people don't take care of their teeth and they're ashamed of it. So people will wait 10 years to go to the dentist. They'll, you know, Andrew, I think, hadn't been to the dentist in like 20 years, like something like that, because people get ashamed. And then they go and they will just don't. If you go to the dentist and you need more than two cavities, or I would say more than three cavities filled, and your teeth aren't hurting, like if you go in hurting and then they say you have four cavities, okay, you probably have four cavities. But if you go in for a checkup and your teeth aren't hurting and you get more, three or more cavities that they need filled, second opinion, because there are con artist dentists everywhere.
Yes.
I've read about this on Reddit. I've heard personal experiences of it. Chris is going to come in right now and tell us a personal experience.
Pro tip. That was a pro tip.
Oh, pro tip. Floss.
Don't go to a brand new dentist. They have tons of student debt.
Oh.
Oh.
Thank everyone you. Is shady. But if you go to a guy that's
Why'd you have me go to Dr. Bakula? He's like 22.
He's in a group that of like, he's in a good group.
He's a good guy.
Yeah,
he's
they're the best in a pyramid scheme.
He's surfer Dennis. He's the coolest.
He's so good. He's totally surfer Dennis. He has a surfer voice and he's Scott Bakula's nephew.
He's just like, hey, how's your teeth going today? How are you feeling?
How's your teeth going today?
So yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that they're all bad, but those dentists that are like young and just out of dental school, they've got tons of debt, and they're like, hey, man, if we do a bunch of fillings, that's what happened with the stories that you're talking
yeah,
about.
Well, there's one story in St. Louis, but I think this is something that people don't know about. So they prey on your shame, you know, like
yes.
If they go, oh my God, this is bad. You listen, and they roll their chair over. Listen, they move the light out of the way. This isn't good. So you've got 6 cavities on your left side. You got 4 on the right side, and we've got a couple options. Go to a second opinion. I'm not lying to you. Like they know when people are ashamed, and there are bad people out there that are taking advantage. So
also, I went to two dentists in New York City. They said, okay, you have to get an implant. I got a $6,000 implant on the right.
What?
And then they go, you have a hairline fracture on this, on your other side. You're going to have to get an implant. Do you want to just do it now? I go, no, I don't have $6,000. I go get a second opinion. That guy goes, you do have a hairline fracture, but you don't yet need an implant, but you will. Then I go to this guy a couple years later and he goes, you have no hairline fracture. It's fine. You do not and will not need an implant.
Let's all just get second opinions for fucking everything. I mean, that's the name of the game. I've never done that in my life. I just always defer that I'm an idiot and everyone knows better, especially doctors who are fucking egomaniacs. You have to be kind of sociopathic and, you know, just like they just kind of look at bodies, like they cut into bodies, like especially surgeons. That's why sociopathy is kind of beneficial to society, because we need people that can like cut into a body and not feel anything or feel remorse or like deal with people dying all the time. Babe, before you leave, I got you some sugar. He hates, but sometimes when I want intimacy with him, I'll go, give me some sugar. And he loves it, but hates it. But today I got you a chocolate croissant.
Oh
yeah. Cause I know you did. Yeah. Yeah. Enjoy it. If you don't like it, just give it to someone who does, you know, I hope you have the greatest day. They hear it.
Wait.
He loves you and he thinks you're wonderful.
Thank you. I've heard it before.
He loves your new teeth.
He didn't even see my teeth.
I'm just kidding. He didn't say that.
Should I shave off my incisors? Because I've heard that it gives a more youthful appearance. What are they called, Nikki?
Lateral incisors. Because your first 4 teeth are all incisors. I looked it up. Now, your lateral incisors are the ones next to your front teeth.
So
the two buddies on the side. The little 2 little henchmen. And I think, yeah, make them a little, maybe like a hairline shorter.
Yeah.
But that's so exciting to have a new fresh set of teeth. Like it's really, whenever I get my teeth whitened, it's such a boost. When I just got some like gaps filled in and my teeth, and it was like, oh,
really?
I just like, yeah. Cause when I would smile, there would be, I just have, it's not like a gap, but it's like my molars come together and they make like a cave, and it's called the black triangles. And it was so funny because I was telling my surfer dentist. I was telling my surfer dentist when he was like, how your teeth, you know, hanging loose. And I was like, yeah, there's just when I smile, sometimes it looks like I have like food in my back molars, and these like at the very top, it looks like a little poppy seed. And he was like, oh yeah, maybe we'll scrape up some of the stain. That didn't work. Okay, we'll knock out this filling and refill it because the filling looks stained. That didn't work. And I go, it's not a stain. It's a fucking shadow because it's a cave. It's like a little cave hole. And so he goes, oh, black triangle. Oh, yeah. He goes, usually, we have a process for filling those in, but it's usually the front teeth, not on the sides. And I was like, he's like, I've never done it on the side. I was like, I'll be the guinea pig. Fill those bitches up. And so now it doesn't look like I have food in my teeth anymore, which was a thing that bugged me all the time.
Why couldn't you figure that out on the first try? Why did you have to go through all these procedures? I can't say procedures.
Because it was a nice fucking, he caught a wave that morning. Yeah. And what is it called when it's like a nice, what is it called when they're like the ocean's good for surfing?
A gnar wave. You caught a gnar.
No, like there's a good swell. There's a good swell or something. I don't
know.
Yeah,
a sweet swell.
Yeah. I'm reading this book about, it's really fascinating. Hold on. What's the name of it? I'm reading it slowly. I am going to read more than a third of it. The book, I do want to update you all, the book about adult children of emotionally immature parents. I've only read, I'm stopping at half because I got it.
Okay.
It's just repeating itself now, but I got it.
And why it's helpful. Read the last like couple of pages just so you get the drift of the end? Have you ever thought
about
that?
Yeah, to see who dies? Yeah, it's me from loneliness because my parents were emotionally immature. No, you're right. Maybe I should. But it's just repeating the same stuff. And it's, I hate books that, first of all, let me just say another strong opinion I have. No more forewords, no more prologues. I don't care about reading. I've already said this before. It bears repeating. I don't need to hear a bunch of people who didn't write the book tell me how good your book is. Yes. I bought it already. I don't need to read someone famous who I don't even fucking know. I'm fucking Michael Rocchio about this person. That's my voice teacher who didn't know who I was. I don't know whoever it is that you got to write your foreword that's so impressive saying how great you are. I paid to read your book. And then I don't want to read about all your thank yous about who helped you along the process, how this book came to be. Save that for the end when I give a shit because I've just read the book and I want to know what's the genesis of this book. Don't forewords need to be shorter. I don't need to see, I don't need to see you thank every colleague and every, all your, I don't need you, if you're a psychologist writing a book, spare me the bullshit about thank you to all my clients who provided case studies and were so vulnerable and offered me your time and like, shut up. You're a doctor. You used your patients. They did sign a release. Maybe you're using fake names. We know that. Shut up. We don't care. We just want to hear the data. But this book, it just goes, this is another thing annoying in these psychology books. They'll go, there are three types of emotionally avoidant parents. And then they'll tell you each one of them and then they have to take you through each. I guess what my point is I just want, I want to know what I can do about it. Like all they do in this book, what I thought it was going to be was like, if you have emotionally immature parents, this is how it shows up in your relationships and here's what you can do about it. Instead, the whole book is just like, Here's how to not be an emotionally avoidant parent or immature parent. First of all, it helps you identify you had them. And then all of a sudden it's like, this is what they do. And you go, yeah, I know, I lived it. And then they go, right. Here's how your parents got that way. It's like, I don't give a fuck. I already forgave them. Like, teach me how to live. And
like you're also screwed. They're assuming that you're going to have children.
Yes, maybe that's it that annoys me. But I'm reading this new book that I actually think is going to help me a lot, even though I know I've said this about a bunch of books, but it can't hurt. And once it loads, it's called The Art of Impossible by Stephen Kotler, K-O-T-L-E-R, Stephen with a V.
Oh,
the
yes.
Art of Impossible. And it's really fascinating. And it talks about how he was a journalist that was following people who would be in the X Games. And these people that were doing like death-defying stunts, like the X Games when it started, people were like, "You can't do fucking 1400 degree spin on a half pipe or whatever." Like they were doing things that like no one could ever imagine a human could do, and they were doing it. And he was like, "This is so fascinating that this is constantly happening. I'm seeing the impossible being achieved by people that." Science would not even think this is possible. And then he pretty much gives you a step-by-step, which is not easy to follow by any means. Like this takes a lot of work, but if you want to do the impossible, if you have like a goal that seems impossible, there is a way to do it. And it's a perfect mixture of, hold on, let me look at my bookmark really quick. It's a perfect mixture of, autonomy. They found that people, when they're told to work on something, if you're at work and you're told you have this deadline, you got to have this in, you'll get the work done, but you're not going to glean from that work your self is not going to improve from doing that work. But if you are left to your own devices and told like, do whatever you want with this time, you will get so much more out of that. So companies have like really used autonomy because they know it's more productive. Yes. So it's really interesting. 3M, you know, that makes tape and stuff. They were the first people to say to their, in 1948, they implemented this system where they allowed their employees 15% of their day. They can do whatever they want, work towards a project that they're passionate about. And which then led to the development of the Post-it note. So they did the math on it and they go, okay, well, 15% of their income in 1948 and or until 1973 was like $1 billion or something. Like 15% of like their revenue was spent on paying people to do nothing for their for 3M, right? It was just right. their personal development. But it led to
innovation,
a multi-billion dollar idea. And so Apple has done this, Facebook has done this, Google does this. They all have this thing of like during your 8-hour workday, 15% of that time is devoted to autonomy, whatever you want to do.
And what it if might, you were like, I want to spend it on Instagram?
No, it's supposed to be like, it's supposed to be work. You know, it's supposed to be like a passion project, like something that you're passionate about. So, but it's a mixture of autonomy. So doing something that you care about, mastery. So, and flow. And mastery is really hard because you need to constantly be pushing yourself slightly. Like if I want to improve singing and songwriting or playing music, I always have to be working on a song that's a slightly above my level of being able to play. Not a lot. It's a very fine window. So if you want to improve in things, if you go too far, you're going to hit a wall and you're going to stop improving. Always slightly better, because the human brain gets huge shoots of dopamine when you are rewarded for learning something new. And like we are constantly in search of dopamine. That's what like makes us, what this book is all about is like triggering motivation. Because if you have motivation, you'll fucking do the work. Cool. And so to trigger motivation, you have to have dopamine. And dopamine gets set off and norepinephrine and all those good feeling things get set off when you slightly challenge yourself and you have little tiny wins. And so this book kind of outlines how to perfectly reach a flow state. And a lot of it had to do also with like, you have to exercise. You have to like literally move your body and exercise, and you have to get into a flow state, which a lot of times surfing can, I don't know. Mm-hmm. He was talking about how surfing causes that because it takes focus, but also your mind is, I don't think I've been in a flow state before. Jiu-jitsu. Yeah. You get in flow.
Oh yeah. It's like this like meditative state when you're just kind of like you have this like tunnel vision where you're so like in the moment, and those little wins and stuff that happens too in the sport. It's like, wow, so cool.
Have you skied, Nikki?
Yes, I definitely feel it in skiing. You're right. Like skiing is my favorite feeling when I'm going down a mountain by myself as fast as I can, trying little, he compares it to skiing too, actually, because he's like, I try something new. I'm alone on the mountain. I'm alone in my head. Like, it's just, skiing's the best fucking feeling. But this is what he says. To really harness mastery as a motivator, which mastery is the hardest motivator there is, but if you get mastery down and you're mastering, like, that's where you see the most growth. Mm-hmm. He says, take the 15% of your life that you've carved out for yourself. So 15% of your week is usually one afternoon. It's a 4-hour block. So 4 hours of your week, and you can, or no, 5 hours, I'm sorry. You either do a 5-hour chunk once a week, or you split it into 2 2.5 hours. I don't think you can do 5 separate hours. So it's 2.5 and 2.5 or 5 altogether. Carve that out for yourself. Call it your autonomy time and spend it pushing on the challenge skills balance, which the challenge skills balance is what I just talked about of like slightly challenging. Like you're learning a new skill that's not completely, but you're going to feel a reward when you get there because you will get there because it's not too challenging. Trying to get a little better at something that's aligned. And this is what else you need to have. You have to have curiosity about what you're pursuing, because without that, you will not keep going. So you have to be curious about what you're pursuing, passionate, and it has to have a purpose. So you can't just want to write a book because I have a story to tell. Your story has to have a purpose to change the world. There has to be a purpose behind what you want to do. If you want to write songs, like it just can't be your purpose could be to make money and become famous, but that's not going to get you far. If your purpose is to change the world in some way, and even in some small way, but outside of yourself, you're going to also achieve so much more than if you are just keeping it to like your own personal goals. So this book is really fascinating, and I hope people read it if I've inspired them at all. Let's go to break and come back with some fan facts. Are you looking for some amazing TV to stream? Well, sink into your couch and indulge with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. We're talking some of the greatest comedies of all time. Absolute must-watch shows. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the crew in How I Met Your Mother,
All 9 seasons of How I Met Your Mother are now streaming on Hulu right now. One of my favorite shows ever. And I mean, don't you want to know how he met their mother? Then go back home with the Dumfies, the Pritchetts, and the Pritchett-Tuckers in Modern Family. Then you can start over with the Roses on Schitt's Creek. And then see what's up in the Kyle household in My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits, streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. I mean, can you even watch all of this? We think so. Head on over to Hulu and start streaming today. Now we're talking.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, I have the podcast to really vent about stuff that's been bothering me, but even that, I can't say some of the stuff I need to sometimes. And there's certain things you just really can't tell anyone, and that's when you need a therapist. They're just there to listen. They can handle it. They've heard it all before. They can tolerate it. And that's why I love therapists. Don't think that you have to get through anything you're dealing with alone. That is not the way being a human works. You need to tell someone. Please take this opportunity and check out BetterHelp, because they will find you a therapist who will meet your needs. I've benefited so much from therapy, of saying the darkest stuff I would never even say in the podcast. And I know you're like, wait a second, you leave dark stuff off the podcast? Yes, I get even darker, if you can believe it. So if you're starting of thinking giving therapy a try, try through BetterHelp. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And it's online, and you can leave your therapist at any point with no questions asked. So this is perfect for someone who's noncommittal, who's scared, who's never tried therapy before. Get whatever you've got off your chest. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Nikki Glaser today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Nikki Glaser.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's time for Fan Thrax, and let's just get to Final Thought. Let's do it. Oh, I've missed Avi's voice. And I've missed our listeners' voices. Let's hear what they have to say.
Okay. Let's start off with Amanda.
Hey, guys. I wanted to get your opinion on this because I feel like Nikki would have a strong one.
Strong opinion.
There's a girl, wow. Shauna Ray. I'm sure you've seen videos on YouTube or TikTok or whatever. I guess she had a show or has a show on TLC, and she had cancer, some sort of tumor in her pituitary gland, and she wasn't able to like mature.
Little girl.
So she looks like an 8-year-old girl, mm-hmm. sounds like an 8-year-old girl, mm-hmm. but she's 23 years old, and mm-hmm. this full-grown like adult man found the show or saw the show and liked her and sent her flowers and all this stuff. I don't know, but they're dating and
they're
I don't know how to feel
now,
about it.
But
you have to look it up. It's fucking freaking me out, and I feel like he's probably a pedophile, but this is like the perfect loophole, you know? I don't know. What do you think?
It is a
guys.
Perfect loophole.
Jack off?
Yeah, okay, now you know how I feel at the end of every episode. It's really hard to come up with J things, so thank you for that. What is this listener's name again?
Amanda.
Amanda, thank you so much for this. Yeah, this is an interesting story.
I'm gonna surprise you here and say that I'm okay with it, because I've watched a lot of this girl's clips and she comes across to me very much like an adult with just a child's voice, and that looks like a child, but like her essence to me is so adult that she's maybe more adult than like a lot of fully grown women I see that like do talk like this and are just like, I'm a little baby girl. Like she's more autonomous and like knows who she is more. And especially given that she has that affliction, I think, or that whatever thing with her pituitary gland, that I think that she's probably a cooler person and more mature because she's had to deal with such scrutiny probably her whole life. And I think this guy, and I trust her to snuff out who wants to date her because she looks like a child and who doesn't, because she's probably been dealing with this her whole life, or her whole adult life, really. But I do, first of all, yes, yeah, spidey sense goes off and you go, what, why? I mean, same with male gynecologists. Why? Why do you want this above anything else? And I feel like I saw some clip where he was drawn to her because of her personality, and I trusted him and I believed him. Although I do think they are broken up now. Noah, do we have any update that you can find about their status?
Let me just see.
A travel blogger who is accused of being creepy for dating a 23-year-old woman who looks like an 8-year-old girl has given an update on the pair's relationship. Swigert, the guy, recently shared several snaps on Ray. Whatever. Okay, so what's the update here?
He said they're better off as friends than
lovers. We are just good friends. We're getting to know each other. But I think it's absolutely disgusting, the attitude of some people. She's been through so much in life. She survived cancer as a child. She's always felt different and was treated by society. And her pussy does not feel like an 8-year-old's. Well, why would he say that? No. It sucks for this girl because anyone she dates is going to look suspicious. And I think I want her to be able to have all the things that I have as an adult woman in life. So I want to be err on the side of like, I'm going to trust her to find someone that's not a pedophile. But yeah, it doesn't look great.
I mean, it'd be worse if she chose a child to date.
Exactly. Like, is she supposed to be alone her whole life?
That's so true.
Is the other thing.
She's like, let me please you guys and just date someone that looks like me.
Like, I'm going to date an 8-year-old. And then we'd be like, oh, that looks better. And if she just looks like a adult woman shrunk down. She doesn't look like a little person because little people have like definite different features that make them look like little people, but she looks like there's adultness to her. Do you think her skin ages? Do you know what I mean? Like, do you think she, because she's small and she has like almost like her skull shape has not taken that of an adult. So she's like a child's probably skull.
But the amount of collagen. I think the amount of collagen leaves our body after certain years.
Yeah, so she's probably losing that, but maybe she's not because her body thinks she's 8. Like,
maybe
why
not as quickly, because your pituitary gland regulates aging, doesn't it?
Yes. So how do we stunt that for all of us?
Yeah. I'm Googling Shauna Ray's skin regime.
We should study her like the last of us. We should use her blood and rub it all over us.
Yes.
This girl? Shouldn't we get her to the fireflies as quickly as possible? That's the Last of Us reference.
J-Lo's already on it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She probably, watch out, girl. Shauna Ray. J-Lo will be harvesting your platelets.
Stem cells. Yes.
God. Yeah, I can't. By the way, that fucking Ben Affleck commercial, Super Bowl commercial where he works the drive-thru. Can we give credit where credit is due? David Letterman did that first. Go look it up. YouTube, David Letterman. Used to be at the McDonald's and Taco Bell drive-thrus, and people would order, and then they'd see David Letterman. It was hilarious, and it annoys me that they stole that idea. And Bob did it.
Like Albert Brooks's brother. Why can't I remember his name? He's on Curb Your Enthusiasm. He died. Bob.
Oh yeah.
What's his Super Dave
yeah,
Osborne?
Yeah. He did that.
Super Dave.
Didn't he do that on Dave? I don't know.
Yeah, he used to do stuff like that too. But yeah, it really bugged me watching that commercial. I'm like, ugh, they just ripped off another comedy bit, and it's just, they gross me out. But that's my opinion, not knowing them at all. But, you know, I think we all know. Okay, let's get to the next caller.
Okay, let's give Peyton some advice.
Hello, everyone. This is my third time trying to get this done in less than 90 seconds. So I'm going to just jump right into it. My brother messaged me saying that he can only RSVP for himself for my wedding in March. That is correct, because I asked him multiple times whether or not he was going to bring his boyfriend, and I received no response. My brother rarely texts or calls back unless he needs something, which is typically money. The wedding is going to be small and family only and is less than 30 people. No one in my family other than my mother and I know that he's gay or even in a committed relationship. My family also thinks of my brother as the golden child that can do no wrong, but they are also the typical backwood Appalachians that people would expect from southern West Virginia. Is it shitty of me to not want my brother to come out to our entire family on my wedding day? Or like, what should I do? Let me know. Also, Nikki, I am very excited to see you in Lexington, Kentucky in less than a month. This will be my first in-person comedy show, and I'm very excited. I've been listening to you for a very long time. Thanks,
girl. And how cool. I mean, what an interesting question.
Yeah.
This is a hard one. I'm going to go with, man, I know I can't relate to weddings being a special day. Like how, like, I think I can relate to this. Like if my sister wanted to if my sister got engaged at my comedy special, my first comedy special taping or something, like I'm trying to relate it to my own life of like, this is my night. And you're doing your thing, but getting engaged isn't the same as coming out, so that's tough too. Okay, my sister comes out, like if someone wanted to come out. I feel that your brother sounds like he's very angry with your family. Like if he doesn't get back to things and he feel like, and he seems like he's probably not operating on a level that a functioning human would operate. If he's not getting back to texts, he's asking you for money and stuff. Might be all from the fact that he has had to hide who he is within your larger family and within your, you know, culture growing up in West Virginia. So my instinct is like throw him a bone, like maybe him being able to come out will like make him a better brother. And like, but at the same time, you only get one wedding, you know, if it goes well. So maybe there's some kind of middle ground where he can come out. Maybe the wedding ceremony, boyfriend not there. I've skipped a wedding ceremony where my boyfriend went because it was just family. It was Catholic. And like, and then I went and got a massage and then I joined them for the reception later. Maybe the boyfriend shows up at the reception. By that time, you've had your glory of getting married. It's time for you to just be on the dance floor and party anyway. It's not, you're not even going to notice the attention's not on you, something like that. Or maybe offering to, you know, support him in some way to facilitate him coming out in a different way with your family in a different time, but hold his hand through it and support him and offer your like love and support in and figuring out the best way to do that. That isn't your wedding day. Might be good. But this sounds like a really tough situation and I do not envy the position you're in. So what do you guys think?
I am maybe being like neurodivergent on
you're
this.
You're getting married with a small wedding. What do you think? Can I come out at your wedding?
I mean, I have questions for this woman. If she was here, I'd ask follow-ups. Like, is it more important that your brother comes out to you, or is it more important that you know how many people are coming to your wedding? Because that was confusing. It sounds like she wants RSVPs.
No, it sounds like she needs to find out if he wants to bring his partner or not. It sounds like he probably has gotten back to her about like, yes, I do want to bring my partner. And now it sounded like it was about like how many people. I think the real issue is, does my brother come out at my wedding or not?
I would say
and
lay
it's going
off.
To be a big deal
lay
if he does show up with
off.
A guy.
Lay off. Just say, I mean, it doesn't matter. Like, he's going to come out when it's his journey.
But if he brings his boyfriend to her wedding, it's coming out.
So what?
Because everyone will see it.
So what?
It's your wedding day.
Oh,
and
she doesn't want the spotlight taken off herself? I'm so confused.
Yeah, which I don't think is a bad thing to feel. Like
nobody cares.
If you're gay in West Virginia, I'm sorry, it's still a little bit backwards there.
That's
in terms of like
it sounds like her family is still
kind of
like
in the
backwards.
It's going to be
the
talk of the day.
Okay, let me
read. It's going to be his day.
I don't want my brother to come out at my wedding.
She's asking if
it's like selfish of her
to have those feelings of like, that. I kind of don't want my brother to come out at my wedding because it's going to pull
focus. You're allowed to have any feelings you want. But like beyond that, What is she really asking us? Is that
She's asking us if it's okay for her to tell her brother, don't come out at my wedding yet. Because it's just, it's too much of a big deal and this is my day.
It's totally okay. Okay, I completely misunderstood. Thank you. I thought she was like,
but do you understand why that would be hard to tell your brother, like, especially given that he has spent his whole life closeted probably with their family, to be
I would
closet
say
yourself one more event.
Yes, of course. But
if you were dating a woman, it would be no issue and you could bring your new girlfriend. But
so passive. She's being so indirect. Like, even I didn't understand what she's saying. What she really wants to say, she's like cloaking with 15 things.
Fuck off. No, I can't wait. I think she's ashamed of this feeling that she's having, that she doesn't want to share this day with her brother's very important day of coming out, which obviously she acknowledges the importance of that and she loves her brother and wants him to have that. I don't think this is her being like, stay closeted. I don't want anyone to know you're gay. It's like, I don't want them to know. I don't want them to find out you're gay today.
But it doesn't sound like that. Sounds to me. Reluctant to even RSVP.
It doesn't
RSVP.
Sound like that to you. So it doesn't sound like she doesn't want to share the day. And I think a little bit harping on what Nikki said, there's nothing wrong with saying, I don't want some form of drama to happen at the wedding. I've spent a lot of time planning it and I want the day to go like this. However, I do want to support you and I want to be there to hold your hand through this moment and to introduce your boyfriend to the family. Sometimes there's like a pre-event dinner. Why don't you invite him to that? Or some kind of family affair that happens before the wedding. So then that way at your wedding, it could be a harmonious event. And hopefully what did she say? Like her backwoods family or whatever will take some curiosity and use that as like a loving event to not only celebrate you, but get to know your brother in this new way, new light in their world and his boyfriend. That's
Now I'm coming at it from the brother's angle of like this weekend I got, you know, I was doing this event at the rock and roll event I did. And there's I'm trying to, you know, win over this crowd and I have 5 minutes. And I said something before the show, I was like talking to the producers of the thing. And I was like, I'm a little nervous about what material to do. And they're like, we just want you to like kind of, the auction is happening right after you go on. So maybe like kind of just like, make fun of how they're all rich. Tell them to like fucking. And I go, I'll be like, you know, I know you guys are rich and you got rich because you're greedy motherfuckers. But like tonight's not the night to be greedy. We all know how you voted. You know, like I just said that. I was just like riffing of like what the. And then this guy took me aside and like was like really rich guy who's like part of the event was like, I know your act. Political stuff isn't going to work with this crowd. And I go, well, you don't know my act because I don't do political jokes. You just heard me like say that off the hand. So you're acting like you've like familiar with me. But I mean, I didn't say this, but I go, you don't know my act because I don't do anything political like ever. I was just, you know, say. And I tell you, the second he told me not to fucking say something about voting,
you wanted to do
I
more?
Was fire. Like the second you feel oppressed for something you know is right, and the second you feel like don't upset Trump people, I mean that if that whenever I get told don't upset tiptoe around Trumpers' feelings, I mean the party of fuck your feelings, and then I have to tiptoe around their feelings, I fucking get enraged and I want to throw my whole set. I mean I want to do all I want to go the other way, and I feel. It's all related to that injustice of like, I'm not going to let these people who like,
it's like going,
I don't want to cater to their good time when they are on the wrong side of things. So I could see your brother being like, I'm so angry that I have to pretend I'm something other than I am because these people are so close-minded and I have to do it one more fucking night because my sister doesn't want to share. Like I could see, and I could also see how he's a loose cannon and you telling him the truth, which is, I'd rather you do it another time, which is so fine for you to say. And I believe the way I would feel as well. I could see how that would be terrifying because he could have that reaction that I had, which is like, oh, another fucking injustice. Another time I have to keep my mouth shut. Well, I'm going to then when they say, does anyone want to object to this wedding? I'm going to stand up and go, I'm gay. You know, like I could see it going. I could see how tricky this is. And I don't think I offered any solutions.
Why does he get a plus one? Is it too late? Like, did she already invite him with a plus one?
I mean, I think she said this was a month ago, so I bet you we're going to find out in Lexington. I hope she gets a meet and greet. If you hear this,
come talk to us.
Honey, go to the merch booth, get a meet and greet, and then tell us what happened, because this is a month after you left the message. So something has happened in this time, and I'll see you in Lexington on Saturday to get the details. Okay, we have to go. Great Fanthraxes. Keep leaving messages. You can find them on our Instagram in the link. Thank you guys for listening this week. We'll see you this weekend in Bloomington, Indiana. That is going to be tomorrow night, Thursday. Then Newport, Kentucky, which is pretty much Cincinnati, is going to be Friday night. And then, and my dad is also going to be on that show, so that's going to be really fun. And then Saturday, we'll be in Lexington, Kentucky. So very excited, and we'll get answers to what happened with that guy, the girl's brother and her wedding. Thanks for listening. Anya, are your teeth going to be normal next week?
No, it'll be like 3 weeks.
I look forward to that update.
Did you think they would?
I don't know when you're having them like the chiclet feeling removed.
I don't know if I can for like a while. Like I don't. But why? Because I have to live with these temporaries for a week. Then I'll shave them down again and make some adjustments. Then they send it to a fucking lab for 3 weeks.
Yeah, it takes forever. That's why I asked. I didn't assume it would be anytime soon. But it's
I'm just
so
gonna
worth
live
it.
With this for a
and
long time.
And I think they look
time.
Amazing, as I've told you a million times. Like I'm thinking about getting it too, because it's so it just looks. And now you can have whatever teeth you want, and they are big enough that you can now make them perfectly what you want them to be. Like they're giving
but if you,
you a
shave
lot of,
off too much, you can't get it back.
You won't though. You won't.
Okay. Did you feel like this when you got your vocal cord surgery? Like, what if I come
absolutely.
Back?
Absolutely. I felt like this when I got LASIK. Like, I can't go back to having blurry vision. Who would want to? But there was something about, like, I don't know if people relate to this when even when Kirsten got her Invisalign, she had like moved on and her teeth were straight. She was like, I miss Invisalign. I want those back. Like, the other day you were kind of depressed and I go, I think it's because you just are getting rid of your teeth that you've had your entire life.
I betrayed my teeth.
Yeah, it's grief. I mean, your teeth, the old teeth are gone forever. And
if
there's
someone asks
like
me
a
how
morning.
I'm doing, I'll just be like, I'm grieving my teeth.
Yeah, I grieve hair. When I lose one strand of hair, I go, this has been with me for 4 years. I look at it, I go, it's a half an inch a month at most. And I go, that's fucking 2 years that this thing. And I go, I get sad. So it makes total sense. But I'm excited to see your smile as it evolves. All right, we got to go.
Thanks, Bubba.
Thank you guys for listening. Don't be cuh. And just shave down your teeth.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at conairgirlbomb.com or a retailer near you.
Looking for some amazing TV to stream? Indulge yourself with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the gang on How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons are now streaming on Hulu. Then you can move to Modern Family, Schitt's Creek, and My Wife and Kids. We are talking every single episode of every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits. Streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. Now we're talking. This is so cool. Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast. Don't Tell Comedy are comedy shows that happen in these really intimate, unique spaces like art galleries and backyards and rooftops. I did one of their first shows in 2017. It was in a random clothing store in LA. Now they are in 150 cities worldwide. You got to check them out. They are such a perfect night out. Don't Tell Comedy is the spot to go. Date night, alone night, friend night, whatever you want it to be. It's so fun. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com. Use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.